Good to see you here this morning. There was a preacher preaching with so much passion and persuasiveness that he gathered big crowds in the city. And in fact, he caused such a stir that he was forced out of the cities into the wilderness. In his preaching, he rejected the status quo, the religious and political establishment, and so they rejected him. But even though he was out in the middle of nowhere, the crowds kept coming. They wanted to hear what this guy had to say. He was like one of the Old Testament prophets and preached with such power. His message really was simple. It was a message calling people to repent. He was calling people away from the sinful status quo of their lives, the sin that had just kind of accumulated like layers in their hearts and lives to where they didn't even notice anymore. And he said, you know what, the way you're living, it's not right, it's not pleasing to God, and you need to turn away from it. And you need to begin to seek God's way, a better way of living. And people who would repent, this guy would baptize them in the Jordan River as a symbol of their turning toward God. In fact, the people started calling him John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. In fact, this man was having such an impact that the religious establishment in Jerusalem sent a delegation out across the Jordan River to investigate and to ask him really a question. Are you claiming to be the Messiah? The promised Savior King from the Old Testament? And when he was asked that question, John said, no, I'm not the Christ. He answered him in a very matter-of-fact way. He said, in fact, he said, I'm not even worthy to be called the Christ's student. I'm not worthy to be his servant. It's not even worthy of me to untie his shoes. He's so much greater than me. And then he dropped the bombshell there to that delegation in the midst of a big crowd. He said, the Messiah is standing right here in your midst. And you don't even recognize him. Can you imagine this murmuring going across that crowd? And then he just let that rest for a whole night. Didn't say anything else about it. But the next day, John gave his witness. And we read that straightforward and simple witness in John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. We like here at Quail Springs Baptist Church to observe the Lord's Supper together on the first Sunday of the year as we proclaim together once again that we preach Christ crucified. But it just so happens that as we're walking through the Gospel of John together, we come to a text that perfectly speaks to what the Lord's Supper is about. And that text is John's declaration in verse 29 of chapter 1. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know what? That'd be a great verse for you to memorize. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus comes to lay down his life as a sacrifice, a substitute for our sin. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you've been with us through the Christmas season, as we walk through John's prologue, the first 18 verses, as he reflects on the birth of Christ, you remember that in those first 18 verses, John emphasizes Jesus as God's supreme revelation. He's saying, listen, Jesus explains God to us. He's the Word of God that speaks to us. He's the light of God that shines on us. Jesus is God in flesh, dwelling right here among us so that we can see Him. He explains, reveals God to us supremely and finally, fully. But here in verse 29, as John introduces his first witness, John the Baptist, we come to see that it's important to him that we understand that Jesus comes to do more than reveal God to us. Jesus comes with a mission of redemption. He comes to die in order to set us free from the penalty and the burden of sin. He is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. The Old Testament is full of images and allusions to the sacrificial lamb, right? I mean, daily in the temple, there are lambs offered as burnt sacrifices. Isaiah said, you know what? One day Messiah comes, and when he comes, he's not only going to be a king that rules, he's going to be a suffering servant that lays down his life like a lamb sacrificed. And the Passover was the important celebration of the Old Testament people, where they remembered a lamb sacrificed and blood shed on the door for their redemption to set them free from death. John is saying that Jesus is like the perfect final Passover lamb. He comes to lay down his life on the cross to set us free from sin and death. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is important. When John challenges us to consider Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he's really speaking to me truth on a number of levels. He's speaking truth concerning who Jesus is, and he's speaking truth concerning the world in which we live, and he's speaking truth concerning me, concerning you. Who is Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. He is from God. He's sent from God. He is God's provision for forgiveness. He's the perfect Lamb without sin, willing by His love to lay down His life on the cross of Calvary for us. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Think of what that says to us about the world in which we live. In short, the world is all wrong. You don't need me to tell that to you, do you? That this world in which we live is not evolving and getting better and better. It is wrong. Violence and greed and selfishness and corruption and loneliness and emptiness, just vanity. The world is all wrong. And in a word, what describes all that's wrong with the world, sin. Why did Jesus, the Lamb of God, come? To take away the sin of the world. Notice that singular, not plural, not the sins of the world, the sin of the world. The Apostle Paul tells us that when we as Christians gather around the Lord's table, every time we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So when we're eating the bread and drinking the cup, we're reminding ourselves and declaring for all to hear that we believe not only that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but that He's coming again. What's Jesus going to do when He comes? He's going to take away the sin of the world once and for all. He's going to set things right. You read it in Psalm 96, didn't you? For He is coming. For He is coming to judge the world, and He's going to judge it in righteousness and take away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. That's truth about who Jesus is and about the world in which we live. And it's also truth about me and about you. That we are sinners. That we have a sin debt that we cannot pay. That we have a sin stain that we cannot wipe away. And that we need Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, as the one and only hope sufficient to set us free, to take away our sin. You know that feeling that you get some mornings when you wake up, that things just aren't right? You know that gnawing in your gut when your head hits the pillow at the end of the day, or your mind wanders through the day, things aren't the way they ought to be. You know why you feel that way? Because things aren't the way they ought to be. One day He's going to set it right. And it could be that the reason there's an emptiness in your heart is because you have never turned away from sin and trusted in Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, Jesus, I believe that You are the Lamb of God and You died to take away my sin. And today, I'm receiving You. Could you make that commitment to Christ today? That brings us to the Lord's table, doesn't it? When you eat the bread and drink the cup, you're proclaiming that Jesus died on the cross. No, more than that. When you eat the bread and drink the cup, what you're preaching is that Jesus died on the cross for me. That I live because He died. If you've never received the Savior, you shouldn't receive the Lord's Supper. Because it's a declaration that you are depending on, you're embracing, you're receiving, you're standing on what Jesus did for you on the cross as sufficient. He is the Lamb of God who takes away my sin. So this morning, before we come to the Lord's table to eat the bread and drink the cup, I want to make sure that everyone in this room has an opportunity to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, to receive the Savior. Ask Him to forgive you of sin and set things right, committing to Him as your Lord before you obey Him in this act of worship. Father, we thank You for all that You give us in Christ Jesus. We give You thanks for John's testimony that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we thank You for the promise of Scripture that says that if we exalt, if we lift up Jesus, He will draw all people to Himself. And we're lifting Him up now and declaring Jesus is the Lamb of God. And I pray, Father, that now as Your Holy Spirit speaks to hearts and minds, that no one, not one, would harden their heart and leave here having rejected Him. But that all would come to Christ. Continue with your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. Before we observe the Lord's Supper, we want to give you an opportunity to make a commitment to Christ. It's very simple. Here's what we're going to do in a moment. We're going to stand and sing a song about the cross. And for many here in this room, singing this song about the cross will be an opportunity for you to prepare your heart for the supper. But some of you need to be saved this morning. And we stand and sing. If you'll come forward here to us, we'll just help you right here to pray and make a personal commitment to Christ, turning from sin and trusting in Jesus. And having made that commitment, you can go back to your seat. But we want you to get that settled right now before we go any further. Today is a day of salvation for you. You're never going to find a better time, an easier time. God's Spirit is speaking to your heart, and now you can come to Christ. We'll help you with that. You come forward here. As we stand and sing, you come.